A brief history of the Holy Roman Empire, the death of Frederick II, and its aftermath. Well, the capture of St. Louis by the Muslims did nothing to help Pope Innocent IV. The French were convinced that the diverting of money and troops to the Pope's crusade against Frederick was the blame for the capture of their beloved king. The pious and devout King of France stood in stark contrast to the arrogant and unforgiving Pope, and that's to say nothing of Frederick II. Innocent's crusade was already shaking the faith that the average person had once held for the papacy, and pressure was now increasing for Innocent to make peace. But Innocent had another problem. Frederick, although on the verge of defeat, was close to threatening his safety at Lyon. He wrote to Henry III seeking refuge in England when his fortune suddenly dramatically changed. On account of illness, Frederick retired to southern Italy, where he died on December the 13th, 1250. The Pope exclaimed, quote, "Let heaven and earth rejoice," end of quote. The enemy of the papacy had died, but Innocent IV was quick to declare that the crusade was not at an end. Conrad IV remained to be dealt with. He solemnly declared that those loyal to the church must support William of Holland and overthrow Conrad. For many years, Europe would be thrown in the turmoil as the papacy sought to unseat Frederick's children. Conrad IV came to Sicily to claim his hereditary rights, but died in 1254. Only Frederick's illegitimate son Manfred remained. He also claimed the title of Sicily. But Innocent would die himself in 1254 before Manfred fell. It would not be until 1257 that another election for emperor took place, and that election resulted in a controversial double election, where two separate emperors claimed the title. Innocent's war was fought for the supremacy of the papacy, but in reality he dealt the initial blow that would lead to the fall of the Holy Roman Empire. He broke the power of the emperors once and for all. Now Frederick II is one of the most controversial figures in the Middle Ages. He is viewed by one historian as a visionary, and another as a tyrant. He is always viewed as the stupor of the world. His struggle was one of the great spectacles of the Middle Ages. He looked like the ancient emperors of old, talked like a Renaissance man, but lived like a pagan barbarian. He might have been great, but instead corrupt and despotic. It was fear of his tyranny that gave support to Innocent's war, not love of the papacy. He was his own worst enemy. With the fall of Frederick II, the imperial dignity of Germany would never be the same. The papacy had succeeded in crushing the imperial authority of Germany with a vengeance, but in so doing spelled its own destruction. The emperors had always promised to protect the Holy See, but without any authority, the emperors could no longer do so. The papacy did not have any real military strength of its own, only the powers of the spiritual sword. While these powers could be potent indeed, they were insufficient to keep the empire together for long. With the virtual collapse of the imperial power in Germany, the papacy tried to find allies elsewhere. They would eventually try the French and the Spanish, but neither could restore the fortunes of the empire. Indeed, in the final days of the Holy Roman Empire, it was again the papacy who threw their lot in with Napoleon, and in so doing, destroyed the last remnant of the empire that they had once ruled with an iron fist. To be sure, the emperors of Germany continued to exist for another 550 years, but the death knell had been sounded. Anarchy would reign in Germany for many years before the emperors could restore order. But by then it was clear that if they couldn't keep order in Germany, how could they keep order in Europe? Certainly the emperors deserve as much blame for their collapse as does the papacy, for both Barbarossa and Frederick II might have restored the fortunes of Rome had they not allowed their own petty pride and thirst for power to destroy them. Truly the Catholic teaching, quote, "pride comes before a fall," quote, unquote, is accurate. The first of the deadly sins destroyed the Roman Empire. Nevertheless, failure of the emperors proved once and for all that the age of empires could not long endure. Kings and empires survived in a world of anarchy because they brought order amid savagery and chaos. But amid civilization, kings and emperors only suppressed freedom. The Reformation was already in the making. It would not blossom till 250 years later, but the seeds were already sown. The Crusades, the Inquisition, the papacy, and the failure of the emperors to maintain order all planted the seeds that would themselves try desperately to uproot. The Magna Carta could not be obliterated by a simple decree, nor could the Bible be hidden by outlawing its translation or placing it in an index of forbidden books, which happened years later. They lived in the hearts and the minds of the men who saw the need for freedom amid the rising oppression. Now, what takes place after the death of Frederick II that we'll be getting into is known as the Great Interregnum. And it seems that the desire of Innocent IV was not only to crush the Hohenstaufen dynasty, but the imperial dignity together. In the 2 decades following Frederick II's death, no less than 3 different individuals claimed the title of emperor, but none were recognized by all and none were crowned by the Pope as tradition required. Sometimes referred to as the Great Interregnum, this period saw the controversial double election for the emperor, the murder of an entire male lineage of the Hohenstaufen as well. It saw the papacy ally with France and the fall of the Kingdom of Acre, the fall of the Latin Kingdom in Constantinople, the invasion of the Mongols, and the death of one of Europe's greatest kings, St. Louis IX of France, which were by no means unimportant decades. So some of the topics that we'll be coming up to is, of course, the war against the Hohenstaufen, scholars of the age, Urban IV and Charles of Anjou, and the fall of the House of Hohenstaufen. So we have plenty to go. It's kind of strange to say. It's going to get really confusing, as if it hasn't been confusing up to this point. But that's what's going to happen. Lord knows what happens when we get to the 30 Years' War. Now, the sources for this is Religion and the Holy Roman Empire by Ferguson, Before France and Germany by Gary, The Oxford History of Medieval Europe by Holmes, The Papal Encyclopedia by Bunsen, The Capetian Kings of France, 987 to 1328 by Butler and Adams, French History, Volume 1 by Guizot, Barbarian Invasions by Delbruck, Early Germans by Todd, and The Rise and Fall of the Holy Roman Empire by Criswell. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.